Today, we're diving into the realm of confidence, entrepreneurship, and personal growth with none other than Julie DeLuca Collins. She's not just a speaker and business coach, but a beacon of empowerment for women everywhere. Known for her top-selling book, Confident You, Julie has graced the stages of prestigious media outlets like Fox and ABC, championing the cause of female entrepreneurs. But Julie's mission extends far beyond the limelight. As a certified Tiny Habits and Thrive Global coach, she's on a quest to nurture holistic growth both personally and professionally for her clients. And guess what? She doesn't stop there. Julie takes her wisdom to the airwaves, hosting Confident You on the 360 Talk Radio for Women Network. Get ready to be inspired as we unravel the secrets to building unshakable confidence and thriving in the world of entrepreneurship. So sit back, relax, and get ready to unlock your full potential with Julie DeLuca Collins.
You're listening to the Life Beyond Infertility podcast with Charlie Dice, the show that teaches you how to get unstuck from the grief and loss of infertility so that you can accept and embrace a joyful life beyond it.
Welcome back to another episode of the Life Beyond Infertility podcast. I am excited. I have a special guest with me today, Julie DeLuca Collins. You just heard her introduction. She's been there, done that. So I'm really excited to jump in with her and get her stories. Julie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be able to chat. I know that we connected and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. She's doing some really great work. So awesome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's start with your story around infertility, if you don't mind.
Sure. No, absolutely. My story of infertility is a little different from what a lot of people maybe have been through. And I think that it's important to frame the conversation too. My story probably began because I grew up in a single family home. I was the oldest of three girls. And then I went into teaching. I taught kindergarten and then middle school. And although I love kids, everybody else's kids, I wasn't sure if I wanted kids of my own. I never really pictured myself as, I wasn't that little girl that played with being mommy. But I knew that was something that maybe I could explore later on in life. I married my first husband when I was 29. We met at 25 and we dated for 5 years. And after we got married, he said that he was not sure if he wanted to have kids. Now, my first husband is Jewish. I'm Catholic. And certainly we did not get married in the Catholic Church. So the Catholic Church did not obviously accept my marriage. From the Jewish perspective, if we were to have kids, I needed to convert, which again, it was up for discussion or exploration. But at the time, we were both very career oriented. We were really focusing on traveling the world, and we really did see the world and really growing in our respective jobs and doing the best that we could. The one thing that kept nagging at me at the time was that I think I'm getting older. Maybe I do want kids. And that kept coming up for me. There was a little tinge that said, it's not right. It's not right. I was seeing a lot of my friends have kids. And there was a part of me that felt, okay, maybe I'm missing out. But really that intuition inside me knew that really my marriage was doomed from the start. And not that I regret the relationship or the marriage because it made me who I am today. Mm-hmm. However, I think that there were things that weren't working from the very beginning. But of course, I was very invested. I was going to make it work. I needed to have this work because I never intended to get married to get divorced. But I think that at the same time, pursuing to not have children came from the fear that I knew that I didn't want to be a single mom and that my marriage was not going to work out because of so many different things. And there were some things that I couldn't really quite put my finger on it, but I knew that something wasn't right. So fast forward, we were very close to having our 10th anniversary with my first husband. There had been some really ups and some really lots of downs in the marriage. And I was working really hard. I had climbed the corporate ladder. I had an executive job. Again, we continued to travel. We lived in New York City. From the outside, we had the life. We were what many people call the dinks, the double income, no kids. Mm-hmm. One weekend, I felt very lonely. I felt very alone. It was Christmas time in the city. And I realized that I wanted more than what I had. Anyway, fast forward, I happened to find out that I was not the person my husband wanted to be with. And he was separated with the intention of divorcing. There was no way to salvage the marriage. He had made choices that were not necessarily what I felt comfortable with. And for true transparency, my first husband is gay. So that was one of the things that no matter how much I tried to make him love me, that was not where I needed to be.
Sure.
So it began a course of trying to discover what was next for me. I needed to explore who I was, what I wanted, and what, and I didn't see myself in another relationship. I didn't see myself, again, pursuing a single motherhood. That was something that was definitely not on the table for me. It was something that I didn't want. And as I continued to heal from this broken marriage, from this relationship, I really did a lot of work in myself. I did a lot of personal development, started to explore and reconnect with what am I doing? Where am I going? What is this? Lo and behold, when I least expected it, I happened to connect with an old friend, someone that I knew for a long time. And I guess we weren't disconnected. And this is someone who I'd met in my early 20s. He married someone I knew, and then we remained friends, and we were all friends. But he went through a divorce, went through some difficulties as well in that marriage, and had a lot of pain. So when I went through my divorce, he said, I know what you're going through. I know what it's like to have some betrayal. I know what it's like to undergo some of these things. He was very instrumental in helping me just see that there was a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, we kept talking, we kept growing in the friendship until one day the friendship grew to something more. He invited me to go to a baseball game. And then all of a sudden, it made sense. This is my person. Fast forward a year later, he asked me to marry him. And at that point, I was 42. And my grandmother had children. Even when there were no fertility treatments to speak of, I didn't necessarily think that children was out of the picture for me. We got married, and even before we got married, we thought he doesn't have any kids, I don't have any kids, but we would like to form a family. So we began to explore and hope in the hopes that we can become a family. For the first time in my life, I pictured myself being a mom. I pictured myself having a child that was a little part of him, a little part of me, and it was just ours. As we began this journey, once I married and I moved to Connecticut from New York City, I was still traveling a lot into the city. I was still doing a lot of the work that as an executive you do, but really in the hopes that eventually, soon, we would have a child. And after probably about a year and a half of trying, and we did a lot of trying, my gynecologist said, you need to talk to an expert. You need to see this doctor. He is the top fertility doctor here in Connecticut, and you need to get checked out because obviously you're of an advanced age, as is your husband, and there's a lot of different things that you can do. We went for the testing, and certainly being an advanced age, I was not producing a lot of eggs. And certainly my husband also was tested and he was fine. So what the doctor suggested is that we go into Clomid and continue to see if we can conceive naturally. And we did that, and it really did not, again, help or anything happen. I was getting really discouraged, but also knew that, okay, there's options, there's adoption, there's all of this. But in the back of my mind as well, I remember thinking, this marriage that I have is something that I really wanted for so long. I wanted to have someone that loved me, someone that cherished me, someone that I can build a home with. And yet I had seen so many of my friends that had gone, some of them, through the infertility treatments that the thought and the goal of having a child had become their main concern, and the marriage had gone by the wayside. And I knew that I didn't want to have a child at the price of my new found loving partnership and marriage. But I still wanted to be able to have that family. We went to the first meeting to talk about the in vitro, and we knew that there was going to be a lot of expense. We knew that it was going to be a lot of different hoops to jump through. We talked a lot about what would happen if, how many embryos, and what would happen if, would we want, what would we do with multiple embryos? And I knew that I didn't necessarily want to have 10 kids, 5 kids. There were a lot of different questions, and then we abandoned the journey with the thought that perhaps we would explore adoption or something else. And at the time, I felt so angry at myself because I thought, wow, I did this to myself. I could have, and now I've cheated my husband out of having a child, out of having a family, because he would be such an amazing dad. And I was living in a lot of pain and fear for what could be of us because we weren't, quote unquote, complete. And at the time, I started to also feel very angry because I knew that I never felt that I was complete because I lacked a child, or was not complete because I didn't have one. And then all of a sudden I started to think that way. And I thought, what, there's something's got to give. And I grieved for a good 2 to 3 years, the whole process of not having children and really coming to a point in which we knew that we were not going to pursue it anymore. Again, really work through a lot of the guilt that I felt. I couldn't have had a child with my now husband before we got together. So there was a lot of mental work to do there. And at that time, shortly after all of that was happening, my dad, who I was very close to, got really ill. He was diagnosed with a very rare blood disease. The fact that I had a job that allowed me to travel, work remotely in 2014, right, when not a lot of people were necessarily in this online world, was definitely a gift, because I was able to then fly back and forth to Orlando to be with my dad, to be there. At the same time, I was traveling to Texas, where my cousin, who I was very close to, we grew up as brother and sister. He lived there, and he had two daughters. He has two daughters, and has 3 other children that lived in California. And I am very close with all of them, and I would travel and see them. And the more that I spent time with my dad, the more that I realized that although it was painful to not be a family, to not have been able to conceive and have a child, that there was a gift in all of that, because I was able to be at a drop of a hat, fly to be with my dad, spend time with him. And for the last 3 months of the year, my dad was terminal. He was not going to be around. And I really was amazed that I knew that if I had a child, I probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to travel as much, to be with him, to be there for him, and to really be able to walk this end of life with him together. There's such an honor that I feel that I was able to be the person that could talk to my dad about everything and anything in these end of days. I was the person who was able to hold his hand and that he could say so many different things to. I also lost my cousin right before I lost my dad. And that was definitely unexpected. But one of the things that he said to me right before he passed, and I was in the hospital with him, and he said, "Hey, I need you to take care of my kids when I'm not around." I'm like, "What?" I said, "Don't talk like that. Don't be ridiculous. You're fine. You're coming home soon." And we had that very deep conversation where he said, "No, this is what I want for my kids. I want them to have a relationship with each other because, right, they have 2 different moms." He also wanted them to finish college and to start these careers. One of his kids in particular, I was there when she was born. I was in college and I was in the delivery room when she was born. Aww. So we have a special bond. When I lived in New York City and I was a single girl, I knew that I was always going to be there for them. But now he was really entrusting me with them. And I thought, no, I'm always going to be there no matter what. And so are you. But the reality is that he wasn't. He lost his life in an instant. And I realized that, again, I was not a mom to my own child, but I was going to have the opportunity to support them, to support my nieces and nephews, to be there for them, for the people that they also love and care about. And I think that at the end of the day, not everybody can fulfill the dream of being a mom, of having children. But the reality is that you have to find the gift in everything. And there is always a gift, no matter the circumstance. And for as painful as it may be, and of course, there's days, and this is really the work that begins, right? There's some other day, Mother's Day, that I think, oh, not for me. But then I think it's okay, because I may not be someone's mom, but I am someone's aunt who they can call at the drop of a hat, who they can trust. Not that they don't trust their moms, but it's a different relationship, someone. And sometimes you just need that special aunt who is going to be able to be the fun aunt, who's going to be the one who is there in a different capacity, but still a capacity to love you immensely. I have to say, for my nieces and nephews, they're so amazing. And part of being an entrepreneur, really what drives me is the thought that I may not have my own blood children, but these are kids that will have a legacy because of the work that I'm doing now. I grew up having an aunt that also didn't have children. And I talk about her in my book. And I will tell you that she was so influential in my life. And a lot of the things that I do, I learned to be an independent woman from her. I loved watching her have a home and not have to rely on somebody else. But I loved also the things that she taught me. I know that as an aunt, you also can have an influential place in the lives of people. And be ready to embrace that. This is something like not having children. It will come back, even if you think that you've made peace with it. There are going to be moments in which it comes back. I've always struggled with fibroids. I've always had a lot of issues. And it got to a point in which I was really suffering through my menstrual periods that were horrific, between the pain and the bleeding. And my doctor said, I think you need to have a hysterectomy. And I thought, no, not doing it. But I finally, when it was getting to the point that I needed it medically, I decided to move forward with it. And that, I have to say, I went through a little piece of grieving again, because that was the finality of being able to conceive a child. There's still the possibility of adoption. There's still the possibility of other things. And I never think that you're too old for anything. Absolutely. But I'm extremely content with where I am today, because I think that I have been able to do things that other people can't. I have been able to be the support system in ways that sometimes other people can't. And I want to encourage anyone that if you are going through infertility, if you've decided to be child-free, whatever it might be, that there is a reason, there's a season, and there's also going to be the gift in everything that happens if you are willing to find it. And it is painful. Talking about it sometimes is not easy. I very rarely do I talk about this, but I want to talk about it because I don't think my story is unique. And I don't think that it helps anyone if we don't talk about these things.
Right. Well, that is so powerful. That's such an amazing story. And thank you for sharing that with myself and the listeners. And there's a lot to unpack there, but I find that I resonate with your story so much. I was never one that really desired children either as a little girl. And even into my teens and 20s, I was really focused on career. And what you said about your nieces and nephew, I have the same relationship with my brother's children. And I would do anything for those kids. Between my husband and I, we have 9 nieces and nephews. If something happens to their parents, we're the legal guardians for all 9 of them. And that makes you feel as though, okay, like I do have a purpose outside of Earthside children. And I also can leave a legacy without biological children as well. And one of the things I wanted to get your perspective on is I run a free Facebook group, Successful Child-Free and Childless Women. And somebody once said to me, why would you name it that? Why would you put that successful adjective in front of that? Because as a childless or child-free, not by choice woman, I don't feel successful. I don't consider myself successful. And I thought that's a really telling statement, because success obviously is defined in so many different ways for so many different people. But you and I, and especially you, have been able to be incredibly successful in a lot of different areas, not just professionally, but you've found the love of your life and you're making an impact in the world through everything that you're doing. What do you say, or what would you say to women who don't feel as though they are successful because they haven't been able to have biological children?
This is such a good question. I'm so glad you're bringing this up. I think that our definition of success, it's always going to vary, right? For me, success is having a life that is aligned with my values. It's never going to be perfect. Success for me is being able to have a vision of what I want my life to be, and for me to continue to get close to that mark, right? Absolutely. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people who, when you ask them what is success, they are talking about a successful person is the one that has millions of dollars in the bank. And by the way, that's nice, but are they happy? There's a study, and I'm going to really butcher up the data, but I certainly can look it up for people. But there's a study that talks about how people were polled, and for someone that was making $100,000, they said, are you happy? And they said, no, I would want $200,000. If someone was making $200,000, they wanted 400 or half a million. For the people who were making a million, wanted to have 2 million. And the reality is that happiness doesn't come because of the amount of money that you have. Happiness is because you've been able to find it with who you are. Successful, child-free, and childless, you have to give yourself the value. The world, a lot of times, will send you the message like, oh, hey, as a female, you're successful if you have kids. You're successful if you're a mom, or in the traditional way. But that doesn't define it. And I think that we need to get to a point in which we need to start to redefine what does it mean? And maybe that person that said that doesn't see themselves as successful because they had many tries and the tries didn't yield what they were looking for. But I want them to ask themselves, what other areas of my life have I been able to embrace who I am and not be defined by having a child? Even the women who have had children, and this is one of the things that I encourage my girlfriends, for as much as they love their children, for as much as they do for their children, their happiness should not be contingent on being somebody else's mom. Their contentment and happiness first has to come from loving who they are, because that will allow them to continue to grow and pour into their own cup so they can then give to others. Because there's a lot of moms that are always putting themselves last. And then even the effort that they're putting for their kids, even though they are doing it first for them, it's a difficult effort because so success to me is not defined in the way that people would define it. I would encourage people to really analyze, what does that mean? And if you were to have that, would that mean that there are other areas that you would feel unsuccessful at?
I love that answer. I absolutely love it. You hit on all the major points, and I think, especially in today's world, when we have so many different influences that are coming at us as women, and we're told you need to dress this way, you need to look this way, you need to everything. And it really puts a lot of pressure. And I think a lot of us women, more so now maybe even than in other generations, feel this type of imposter syndrome, especially when we don't have children, because we feel as though we are less valuable or less important to society, because our cultures tend to be pronatalism, which understandably we want the species to continue on. I think that we need to somehow get the message out there that you are more than one part. You are an entire sum of a human being. And so you have all these parts, and you need to really build up the ones that are available to you, and then not mourn the ones that aren't, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And I think that, again, you hit the nail on the head. Our world tries to define us by a very outdated version of it. And the reality is that our value doesn't come necessarily because we can reproduce. Our value comes from the person that you are. I'm going to give you an example as well. I went on a retreat for women, all of them, these incredible, amazing individuals, and all of them were moms. One of them happened to bring their child, their daughter, to the event. And most of the women there were older women in midlife and whatnot, except for this young woman. The young woman was going through a very challenging, difficult time. She had broken up with her boyfriend of many years, and she was devastated. One night, she went out. We were at a beach house, and she went out to the water. And she went out, and she was out there. And we were sitting by the pool, several of us. I thought, oh, wait a minute. Let's go check up on her, because she's at the beach in the dark. We went out, and I was the first one to reach her. And the experience that she went through is very similar to an experience I had. I was engaged at 19, and I, at 20, who I thought was the man that I was going to marry, had a motorcycle accident. And all of a sudden, that relationship and the dreams of being with him were gone. And if you had told me at 20 that I would move on, that there was more for me, I wouldn't have believed it. My mom said that to me, and I didn't believe it because it was my mom saying that. When I sat with this young woman, I didn't tell her anything different from what her mom probably already said to her and had said to her. But I was able to be the person that could sit there and cry with her and talk to her and let her know that it was going to be okay. I share the story because my girlfriend who was there, she said to me the next morning, she said, "This is why you are who you are. You Wow. are the one who can be there when we're not going to be able to fill that role. You're going to be the one that can say something when what we say is not going to count. So you need to make sure that you understand that you are going to be in a place where you have the opportunity to use maybe that pain or sorrow that you're carrying into something great. You can make a difference in somebody else's life only if you allow yourself to do so."
That's amazing. And I'm sure to this day that woman thinks of you and thinks of that conversation and just holds a special place in her heart for you. That's really a great transition to what you're doing now. And you have your podcast, Casa de Confidence. And in the realm or in the framework of fertility, when women are struggling with that, it really takes a severe toll on our confidence and on our ability to see ourselves with value. If I came to you and said, "Julie, I really am struggling because of this aspect of my life," how can women gain back their confidence in this area?
Such a good question. For me, confidence is that elusive thing that people want and they're not sure how to get. A lot of people have the misconception that you're either born with it or you have to be bold. But confidence can be something very quiet as well. The one thing that I have found is that confidence is the fruit of the efforts that you make, even when you don't feel you can do it. For anyone that's coming to me looking to get more confidence, the first thing that I'm going to help you gain is an awareness that, hey, this is where you are right now. And that we all start as beginners. There's no one that is born already knowing how to run a marathon, right? All of us crawled, all of us walked and stumbled and fell. That's the same thing. And then the way that we gained the confidence in walking was by doing it. Do the thing that you want. Do the thing that you feel you're not good at yet. Because the more that you do it, the more that you're going to find that you're building the evidence that it can be. Maybe you're a little wobbly at it, but the more that you continue to show up, the better you get, the better you get, the more motivated you are to show up, the more you show up and practice it, the more confident you become, and it all feeds off of each other. But the first step is to try, even if it's that first single tiny little step, because That's how you become confident. That's how you go after your dreams, is by taking that first step that may scare the bejeebies out of you.
I think I love to give my listeners tangible things that they can actually implement in their own lives. You said step one is actually becoming aware of the fact that you need to try. You need to take that first step, put yourself out there. Are there other things then, other tools that women can keep in their back pockets to take out in times of just feeling down and feeling like it's not working and I'm trying and I'm not getting anywhere? Can you give them some tools?
Absolutely. And by the way, I think that this is something that we don't do enough of, especially as women. Yes. We don't give ourselves credit when someone says, oh, you look nice. Oh, this whole thing. It's so natural for us to do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I want to encourage you, yes, is that awareness. I'm a tiny habit certified coach, so I'm going to teach you the ins and outs of creating tiny habits. Number one, you need to be able to have something that reminds you to do the habit that you want to create. So if you want to create confidence for yourself, maybe you're starting a business or maybe you're doing something in your career and you're not sure how to do it, then like we said, start small, take the first step. But in the moments that you're feeling like you're not doing it, like you're not going to, find the evidence. And the other thing is to remind yourself of the gain. There's a book called The Gap and the Gain, one of my favorite books. And the reason I love this book is because many times we want to compare ourselves to the destination in which we're working towards. However, if we keep focusing on where we are, where we've yet to get to, it is always going to seem like a very long distance and we're going to get discouraged. But I can guarantee you that if you look back, you were way back there. And you have to look at where you start from and where you are today to be able to celebrate that. Because every step forward is a win. Every step forward is going to allow you to build your confidence. One of the things that I make my clients do is create a book of evidence. And this is where you write all of the things that on a daily basis, maybe you add one thing today. This is the evidence that I'm beginning to do this, right? I can do that, or I've done this. And the more that you write it down and measure what you've been doing, the more that you're going to see. Because a lot of times, like we said, we are not giving ourselves credit for it. But this is going to be a really great way for you to give yourself credit.
I love that, an evidence book. And I just had a guest, and I don't know when this episode is going to air, so it might have already aired or it might be coming up, but he's a mindset coach. And he said, you have to think about if something is inherently true, it means that it's true 100% of the time. So if you tell yourself that you are a failure or you are less than, whatever the case is that true 100% of the time? And would somebody else say that was true of you 100% of the time? And if there's even one person in the world that would say no, then it's not true. And so I love his analogy. And I think that we need as women to replace the dialogue in our heads that we're groomed from childhood with these other actual tangible with your book and then intangible with his analogy to rewrite that script.
Absolutely. And Charlie, again, if you want to make the example, right, from what you're just saying that he said, right? He said that it's not an absolute. If I were to sit here and said, I am not good enough because I am not a mom, I am discounting all of the people that I have been able to be there for. And by the way, there's times in which, you know, of course, I'm like, oh, whatever, I haven't done anything. But really, I can guarantee you there's going to be people that will say, no, Julie, you helped me with this. And I'm not trying to say, oh, boastful me, but that's the reality. Even the person that maybe has a terrible track record, there's something that they have done that is something that counts for a lot. And it's not an absolute. We can't think of absolutes because that's when we get in trouble.
I'm sure that with your story about your father
and taking care of him before he passed, from that comparing to if you said you hadn't done anything, you just did a TEDx talk for, which was amazing. So congratulations on that. Thank you. Obviously, I think in your mind, you wouldn't necessarily think of them in the same context, but they're both measures of success and both measures of ways that you have found to give back, even without having a quote unquote biological family of your own.
Right. The family that you create is not just biological. It really is the family that you can choose. My husband and I started our podcast, and people call it my podcast, but it's his as well. Because number one, he got the podcasting equipment and told me I need her to do this. Number two, he's the producer and he edits the show and whatnot. But he's also my little co-host. And really, the podcast is our little baby. Mm-hmm. And the content that we put on the show is really the content that we believe somebody is going to hear and say, I needed to hear that. I needed to learn that. I love hearing. I just had a woman, her name is Peggy, and she also lost her fiance at 19 or in her early 20s. And she started to really focus on gratitude. Fast forward 20, 30 years later, gratitude is really her platform. And actually, you know what? I'm actually wearing her bracelet. She makes these gratitude bracelets. And she makes them of different stones. And I wear it to remind me to find something to be grateful for. And she said when she sent it to me that she picked this color, the red, because it's confident. That's the confident color, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, having her in the podcast, sharing her story about how gratitude really changed her life. There's a person that just sent me a message that said, I'm so glad you had her on the show because I needed to hear that message. So this is that ripple effect that we create as humans. The work that I do in the podcast is not just about me putting my voice out there. I can record my voice here and listen to myself all day. But really the reason that we do what we do is because the message that we're putting out, even if it's one person that listens to it, it's going to be the person that needed to hear that message. And then they in turn can change, can evolve, can create, can do, can affect somebody else.
100%. Now that we're on the topic of your podcast, how did that kind of come to be? How did you and your husband, I really need to get my husband on in line here because he doesn't do anything with my podcast. So
I love telling the story. I got my coaching certification in 2016, 17. And the thought was always that I was going to do that when I retired, when I got old, and that was my thing. I wanted to help women. I wanted to help them build their confidence as I was trying to grow my corporate career. That was the main thing that I heard all the time, Charlie. Oh, Julie, I wish I was as confident as you are. I could never do what you're doing. And I kept thinking like, wait a minute, I don't have it together. Of course you can do what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. That was always the key. At the beginning of the pandemic, it was March. We had just gone into lockdown. It was March 25th. I got a call from my job and they were laying me off. I was offered a separation package. I had climbed as high as I was going to go in the corporate ladder. I was chief innovation officer for an educational company. I had made the C-suite finally. And certainly it would have been not so difficult or challenging necessarily to get another corporate job. I had some people inquire about me coming to work for them. But I knew in my heart that this is it. This is my opportunity to launch my coaching, my business, and to take charge and to change the lives of women. And I wasn't necessarily 100% sure how that was going to play out and how to do all of this, but I knew that that was what I was going to do. At the same time that happened, I really wasn't thinking this whole pandemic lockdown was going to be as long as it was going to be. I surely thought that by April 26th, we would be able to have that big birthday party I'd been planning for months. I was having a big milestone birthday, and I thought, oh, sure, of course we're going to have this party. My husband, Dan, he knew better. He was like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. We're not going to have this party. And I was really building my business and working and trying to get everything started. And I wasn't really paying attention that the date was coming and that was not going to crystallize. He's like, well, I have this wife who's an extrovert, who's in lockdown, who just lost her job. I better do something. So he said to me, hey, I ordered you a birthday gift and it's podcasting equipment. So you're starting a podcast.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, what? And he's like, listen, you've talked about it forever. You've always talked about having a podcast. And I thought, oh, I don't even know what I'm going to talk about. What do you mean? What am I going to talk about? He's like, honey, I know you're going to find something to talk about. He's like, don't worry, because I know this is what's going through your brain. I will do the tech because, and all you have to do. And so we joke that he's the tech and I'm the talent. So I said, okay, let's do it. And as we were talking about what to name the podcast or what am I going to talk about, I had already decided that I was going to talk about confidence. I had given my business the name Go Confidently. The reason I use that name is because throughout my career, one of the mantras that I've always had is the quote from Henry David Thoreau, go confidently in the direction of your dreams. My dad told me that quote. It stayed with me. And in the moments in which I didn't think I could do it, I remind myself, just go confidently, take the first step. So that was already what my business was called. So when we started to like, oh, what should we call it? Confident, Go Confident podcast. I was sitting in the dining room because that's where we made our command central, not my office, but we had set up everything to start the business in the dining room. And in the dining room, we have a plaque that we got when we got married. Now, my last name is DeLuca. My husband's last name is Collins. And we have always referred to our home, Casa, which is home, De Collins, like a play in our names. So home of DeLuca Collins, right? But I'm like, you know what? We're going to be the home of confidence. So we're going to call the podcast Casa de Confidence. So it's a little play on our names, a little play on the name of the business. But really, the aim of the podcast is to create a place where people can come, just like we come to our home, sit down, have a drink, be comfortable, talk about different things, no matter what it is. We talk about some topics that make people blush. I actually had an interview today with a former sex worker who is the sex coach now. So that's going to be a very interesting talk about how to increase your confidence in the bedroom and beyond. I really want to be able to bring the stories of individuals who have gone confidently. And by the way, I want to normalize for others that the journey is not easy and the journey is not perfect, because we see Instagram and we see what everybody else is doing and we think, look at them, they have it all together, but they don't. They probably have laundry and dishes and maybe they're wearing slippers rather than beautiful shoes, right?
I was just crying to my husband last night. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea. I have no idea what is the next step for me. And yeah, none of them have it all together.
Stay the course. And the thing is, the podcast has become our baby and we really love putting it together. So my husband is the little co-host in the beginning of the show. We do a little banter and then we jump into the interview with a guest. What I love about the show as well is that it's more than just us. A lot of the things that started to happen when I started to work with clients and coach women, a lot of them either had a podcast or wanted a podcast and they didn't know where to start, first, second, or third. Or maybe they started, but they didn't have a tech husband, right, that could help them. So they started to borrow mine. So now we produce over 16 different shows that are part of our family, where we help other women go confidently when it comes to putting their message out there. And we really love doing that because each of them are so unique and individual, and they have a message that, again, is creating a ripple effect into the world.
100%. That's such an amazing story. And I love that you two do it together. It's probably better than anything, just being able to have that time together and have those intimate conversations. And
well, I will tell you, sometimes it's not pretty. And we don't really have a time, right? And I know that this is so anti what people say, release at the same time. We sometimes get up at 7, sometimes at noon, and we'll come into the office and we'll record. And then sometimes we are normal married people who are like annoyed at each other, but yet we have to record. Right. And what you see is what you get. You're always going to get us on the show. So you'll hear my little annoyance at times, or Dan may be a little more quiet. We have fun doing it and we really enjoy it.
I love that. And that's what makes, I think, this platform on the whole so engaging and why people love it, because it is real. You can edit things, but you can't like fluff it up with filters and make things look Instagram worthy. And yeah, I think the more honest and real, and I've really enjoyed becoming a subscriber and listening to your episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
It's really good. Thank you, Julie. I want to respect your time. So
you've been amazing. You're such a good host. And thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun. It's healing to also continue to share a story that I don't always talk about. But I know that we need to talk about the things that we don't talk about, because somebody else is listening and they needed to hear that.
Yes, for sure. And one of the questions I always end with, and I'm really excited to hear your answer. If you could give one piece of advice to your 18-year-old self, it doesn't have to deal with professional, personal, whatever it would be. What's that one piece of advice that you would tell that 18-year-old girl?
You know, I've thought about this in many multiple ways, my early 20s, but never at 18. I want to go back and look at Julie at 18. And she was very unsure what her place in the world was. But I think the advice that I would give her is to trust who she is, to believe that who she is enough, and that no matter what she chooses, she will end up where she needs to be. And the journey is what she should focus on, not the destination.
I love that. That's amazing. Thank you so much, Julie. And where can people find you if they want to reach out to you, listen to your podcast, interested in getting some coaching? What's the best place to
get you? Well, pretty simple. Julie DeLuca Collins on all of the platforms. The podcast is Casa de Confidence. And we also have started releasing some little shots of confidence on the YouTube channel. So you can find us there. And again, if you want to connect, my website is goconfidentlycoaching.com. And you will see a link there where you can connect with me, send me a message, or if you want to jump on a call. I am always happy, even if you're not sure you want to work with a coach, but you need to speak to someone, I am happy to just listen. And we can do that. I have free coaching sessions that you can leverage in there. So feel free to connect. I always love hearing from people that have come across me speaking in different places. So thank you. Make sure you say hi.
Awesome. Yeah. And we'll put all of those links in the show notes so that you can easily find them. But Julie, thank you again so much for being on the podcast today. And it's been an honor to meet you and get to know you. And I'm just looking forward to keep connecting and keep supporting one another.
Well, you're going to come on my show. We're going to continue to have fun hanging out in this online world. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for the courageous conversations that you're having and for touching the lives of women and opening up the dialogue. So thank you again, Charlie.
Thanks for listening. You're incredible, and I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you haven't done so already, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you never miss when a new episode airs.